Comfort and Above every name, we've come to glorify you, Lord. We've come to put you first this morning, Jesus, the one name that is worthy. Amen. Yes. There's only one name that is worthy. There's only one King on the throne.
Voices bow, the creatures cry, sings and angels glorify. The anthem echoes day and night. He's worthy.
Oh, he has eyes like fire, hair like wool, voice like many waters roar, matchless and most beautiful. He's worthy, worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy, worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Lord, you're worthy, worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy, look to the Lamb. See the Son of God, the Savior crucified. See the crown of thorns and nails, His own design. For He is worthy, look to the Lamb. See the One who is forever glorified. For there is love and there is fire in His eyes. He is worthy. No other name but Jesus. He is worthy. Oh, just fill this place and sing His word. See the Son of God, the Savior, crucified. See the crown of thorns and nails, His wounded side. He is worthy. Look to the Lamb. See the One who is forever. He's glorified. For there is love. Jesus, You are worthy.
You are worthy. Can we lift up a praise in the house today? Worship the Lord together. We love You, Lord. We bless Your name. We praise and exalt You, our God. You are worthy to be praised, O Lord. Just pour out a praise to the Lord right now. Lift up a sacrifice of worship unto Him. How we love You, Lord. How we praise You. How we thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done for us, to redeem us and to bring us into Your family, to give us the gift of everlasting life and to supply so abundantly for us in this life, O God. Blessing us with Your faithfulness, Your amazing mercy, Your powerful grace, O God, strength for the day, pardon for the past, hope for the future. Thank You so much, Lord. We pray that right now, O God, across this sanctuary, You would touch every heart and every life. We've come this morning as Your people, expecting to meet with You. We thank You, Lord, that as Your children, we're never apart from You. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You walk with us every day. But Lord, as we come and gather as Your people today in the name of Jesus in this house of worship, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You promised to be here. We know that You're moving by Your Holy Spirit even now and that You desire to touch us, O God. You are a Father who desires and loves to supply for the needs of Your children. So we trust in You today, Lord. We lean upon You. We cast our cares upon You today, Lord. We thank You that we can draw from You everything we need this morning. We pray for healing right now for those who need a refreshing in their physical bodies. We pray for peace and direction, for guidance, O Lord, for joy to be restored for those who have been sad and heartbroken, Lord. We pray that every need would be supplied. You are the giver of our daily bread, and that's so much more than our physical food, Lord. That's everything we need. And so we commit ourselves into your hands for your keeping, and we thank you for your faithfulness and love today, O Lord. Bless this congregation this morning as we continue to worship you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to church this morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're so glad to be celebrating with you today and rejoicing in the good news of Jesus this morning. In just a little while this morning, Pastor Peter is going to be coming and preaching our Christmas message this morning. Over these next few Sundays, this Sunday, next Sunday, and the third, today Pastor Peter will be preaching a Christmas message. Next Sunday morning, Pastor Bob will be preaching a Christmas message. And two Sundays from now, Pastor Malachi will be preaching our Christmas message. And it's going to be a great time of celebrating together. And we pray that God will make this Christmas season the very best that it can be, and that we will be able to rejoice together in the goodness of God. Amen. Isn't it a joy to be a family this morning? Would you take a moment to reach out around you and greet one another and welcome one another to the house of the Lord today, please?
If you would, please be seated. Have a couple quick announcements that we want to share with you this morning. First of all, we want to welcome those that might be visiting for the first time today. If that's you, we are glad that you are here. We ask that if you would, please take a moment to fill out the Connect card on the back of the seat that's directly in front of you, and then swing by our welcome center located in the lobby. As you exit the sanctuary, we would love to connect with you, get to know you, and get you to come back and be part of our church family. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. One other word of announcement. We want to remind you of our Angel Tree ministry that we are participating in again this year. We've done this for many years, and the Angel Tree ministry, it's a ministry that provides Christmas gifts for children who have at least one parent that's currently incarcerated. And the way that that works is you swing by our tree in the lobby that has a bunch of paper angel ornaments, and they have names of children and information about them, and you'll just take that ornament. Jackie Estes will be out there manning that table, and she'll write your name down, and then this week, take that ornament with that information, go purchase those gifts, wrap them up, and bring them back next Sunday. That's the deadline to get those turned in, and then we will have a team of people that go out and deliver those gifts and to be a blessing to children in the Mid-Missouri vicinity. So if you can help us with that, I think we have about 15 ornaments left. If you guys help us wipe those out this first service, then that will leave none for the second service today. So that's what they get for sleeping in. So anyway, but we do appreciate you if you can help us out. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. Pastor Peter's coming at this time to bless us with the word of God. Pastor Peter.
Merry Christmas. Luke's gospel tells us in the first chapter, verses 26 to 38, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Father God, I pray that you would speak to your people, that they might find your hope and your peace in this Christmas season, because you sent your Son to indwell within us, because you loved us so much. Bless us this day with your joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Christmas, what's it all about? It comes at the darkest time of the year. The sun rises later in the morning, sets earlier in the evening. It's a lot of darkness. It came in the fullness of time at the darkest hour of the history of humanity. I know that it's not clear always in the history as to when Jesus was born. I typically like to say that's because a cow stepped on his birth certificate and it's kind of been smudged. And so we're not sure if it was in March or in December. Both arguments make a lot of sense. But in the fullness of time, when darkness was pervading the world, in Israel, the chief priests had begun to be infiltrated by Eastern ideology, and so they were not following the law as Moses had put it forth. They were not following the prophets who told them the Messiah would come at this time in history. They were not ready for a Messiah. They did not like the kind of Christ that God sent. The Pharisees had their own ideology, and so when Jesus came on the scene, they rejected him. And so in this dark time of history, the angel Gabriel came to a young girl named Mary, who had been following the law of Moses, had been obedient to the prophets. And the angel came and said, "Greetings." In the Greek, the word that is translated as greetings in the NIV, it's the word kaire. It's the word which we get charismatic. That gifting of the Holy Spirit, it's the word that is best translated as rejoice, be glad, be joyful. It's joy that the angel came to tell Mary. Be joyful, and that's what Christmas is all about. Joy to the world, so that we can have joy in the midst of darkness when everything around us seems to be going haywire. Greetings, Mary. Joy to you and to all the world. For you are highly favored. You who are highly favored, God has looked at you with favor. Not because you're better than everybody else, all the other young girls, but God chose you because God had to choose somebody to give his grace. And God looks down through the ages of time and he sees you and you and me. And he says, you too have my grace. You are highly favored. I have chosen you to favor you. If you will trust in me, you will be highly favored of Almighty God. Because we have the favor of God. Why? Because as the angel said to Mary, the Lord is with you. Not because I'm special, because you're great, because you've done anything, but because the Lord is with you. The Lord is with us, and that gives us the favor of God. Because we go about our business, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, walks with us, talks with us, goes wherever we go. The Lord is with us, and that gives us the favor of God. Christmas comes at this time of the year. I remember growing up in Trout Creek, Michigan, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where it's very normal to get below zero, 20 below, 40 below, 15 feet of snow. Went to first through fourth grade there when my father pastored the Trout Creek Assembly of God. And I remember getting old enough to where they let me come Christmas caroling. To the town of 400 people. It's probably less than we have here in the sanctuary. And we would go to houses and sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And I thought that was such an awesome privilege to go share with people that Jesus Christ came into our world. And even though it was below freezing, my toes were freezing, it was ice cold, I was bundled up as much as I could, it was an awesome privilege to tell the town, Jesus Christ has come to give us joy to the world. Jesus didn't just come at Christmas to give us joy, but he also came to tell us about love. Because it was the love of God that sent to Mary to give birth to a son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all of the world, whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that he gave his son, knowing that he was coming into a hostile world that would not receive him, where the religious leaders would say, crucify him. The religions of the East were infiltrating. The Roman power of the West was dominating that society. They were more interested in the prestigious Caesar, the governors, the elite of the Roman world who controlled that entire world as they knew it. But God loved you and I so much to make sure that his son came at a time when they would crucify him, that he would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He would be the Passover Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, so that he could die on an old rugged cross for you and I. And because God loved the world so much, then he puts the love of God inside of us so that we begin to act like God, and we love the world so much. It was shown a couple of years later when the Magi from the East, as Matthew 2:1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, that the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. They were not Jews. They had read the prophet Daniel, who had left his writings in Babylon and Persia. And they had read this and saw that at the fulness of time, at this time, they'd calculated, they knew this is the time when this Messiah would come. And so they started looking at the sky and they saw his star in the east. And they began to follow the star and they came to Judea, to the capital, Jerusalem. Came to the king of the Jews, Herod. Where would your Messiah be born? Where can we find him? Thinking, they're looking at Daniel's prophecies. They know it's the time. Surely the people in Judea would be looking for him, would be excited about their Messiah to come. Herod's like, we don't want any Messiah. We don't need another king. I'm king. Well, go find the prophets and tell them to look up in the old dusty books. Where would he be born? In Bethlehem, Ephratah. So they send them off to find them, Mary and Joseph and the child. Foreigners, speak a different language, had come from a different religion, the religions of the East, and they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh and bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Because all of the religions of the world come and worship at the feet of Jesus. Jesus does not subordinate himself to any of the false religions of the world, but they recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is the Messiah, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Buddha will bow, Krishna will bow, Islam will bow, everybody will bow, you and I will bow. The secret is to bow to him now and to submit ourselves to him. And Mary and Joseph, when these foreigners came, didn't say, oh, we want nothing to do with you. You're not one of us. No, they had the love of God shed abroad in their heart, and they welcomed them and they loved them because they knew God was right there with them. I remember as a young boy in junior high school up in Whitewater, Wisconsin at the time. We used to get the scholastic books that we could order and receive to read. And I, being a Green Bay Packer backer, who won the first Super Bowl. Some of you don't remember that far back, but some of us do. And our arch rival was just below the border in Chicago. And they had a running back that was awesome, was lightning speed, who could run all over everybody, by the name of Gale Sayers. And he shared the backfield with Brian Piccolo. And he wrote the book about his story. And I ordered that book and read it. It was called I Am Third. People wondered, could a black man and a white man share the backfield together and get along back in those days of the 60s? Could they share a room when they went out to go play against other teams in other cities? But they got along and they were one. And he wrote the book, I Am Third. Because just like the song we used to sing, Jesus and others and you, it's a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you, in the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you, in whatever you do, put yourself third and spell joy. And because he had understood what they told him in his church, put Jesus first and others second, I am third. And he understood that he would be third. He would not try to make himself preeminent, because that's how you love other people. Is you love God first and you love everybody else, I am third. And that's a powerful message that I learned as a young child growing up in the Assemblies of God churches my father pastored. And it's a message that we all learn who get the message what Jesus tells us. I am third. To love everybody. And not only does Christmas give us joy and love, but it gives us hope. The angel told Mary, you are to give him the name Jesus. If there's one word that God could identify what his character is like, he put it upon his son so that all of the world would know that Jehovah God, Yahweh God, however it's pronounced in the Tetragrammaton, we don't know how it's pronounced, because the Jews would not say that name for hundreds of years. But Jesus, the transliteration into the English language, Jesus means Jehovah saves. This is what God is like. God knows that you and I need a Savior. We can't make it on our own, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned. You have sinned. Every single one of us has sinned. And we prove it over and over and over and over. I know you probably haven't sinned in 25, 30 years, but most of us mess up many, many times. People don't like that name because of the implications. It implies that, yes, you and I are sinners. I need a Savior. I can't make it on my own. I can't say, well, I'm good enough. I got it together. No, I don't have it together. I only can do what I do because the Lord is with me. Only because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. Because I have one named Jesus. The world, the devil wants to tell you God hates you. He's up there with a lightning bolt ready to strike you when you mess up. He can't wait to throw you into hell. But no, the name Jesus lets you know, this is what my character is. I can't wait to save you. I can't wait to redeem you. I can't wait to fix your life and get you back on track if you just turn on me. Just call upon the name of Jesus. I need a Savior. And that's what Jesus is like. That's the character of God. Call his name Jesus. God didn't just send Jesus so you can have pie in the sky and your ethereal realm in the spirit, but he came and he cares about you in the flesh. He told Mary, your Aunt Elizabeth, who's an old lady, is going to have a child in her old age. God cares about you in your old age, in your flesh, who you are. That's why Jesus came and opened blinded eyes, caused the lame to walk, caused the deaf to hear, touched us and says, let me tell you, when you get to heaven, that's the way you're going to live all the time. He will bring healing to you all the time throughout eternity. You live in an old body that is decaying and falling apart. But let me tell you, I have come to give you life and life everlasting in your flesh. You're not just going to float upon a cloud, but I'm going to come again in the flesh, and I am going to resurrect every single one of you. Your old bones that were dried up and dead in the grave, doesn't matter how long they've been there, how much that dust has dissipated and gone throughout who knows where, the resurrection is going to cause all of that to come back together, and you are going to come up out of the grave and go to be with Jesus, to live with him in heaven forever and ever. And to show you what it's like, Jesus Christ did it first because he's a leader. He says, follow me, just like I went into the grave, and on the third day, my old body resurrected and came up out of the grave. And he said to his disciples, let me tell you, go ahead and stick your hand in my side. Put your fingers in the holes in my hand. You can recognize me. I look just like I always did. I have the marks that I always did, but it no longer gives me pain. It no longer is hurting me. It's no longer killing me. And that's what you will have, is a resurrected body that will live forever and ever and ever. And you will be able to recognize all of your loved ones and know who they are. But you will have no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow. That is what Jesus has come to give us, life everlasting in our flesh. Amen. And the angel went on to tell no word from God will ever fail. All things are possible with God. The devil wants you to believe you can't trust God. You can't believe that old dusty book. It's full of errors. It's the lie that the devil has been telling since the beginning. Hath God said? God didn't really say, you can go ahead and eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You'll get smarter and better and wiser. No, trust God and do what he said. From Genesis to Revelation, trust him. Know what he says. Devour that book. No word from God will ever fail. Live by that book. That's why I devour it every day for hours. Talk to me, God. Tell me. Let me rightly divide the word of truth so I know this is how I live in the 21st century, what you said for the last thousands of years. No word from God will ever fail, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Because his name is Jesus, that gives me hope. If I look at myself in the mirror, there's no hope. If I look at my life and all the times I've messed up, there's no hope. I can't make it. But Jesus gives me hope. He says, I can turn it around and I can fix it when you've messed it up. That gives me hope. I don't have to know how to do rapture lessons and get up there. I can't jump that high. But he can get me to heaven because he gives me hope. He showed me how. When life gets messed up, and it might be your fault, it might be my fault, it might be somebody else doing it to me, but he gives me hope. I remember back in the 90s, serving United States Army chaplaincy over in Hawaii, working at the Wheeler Army Chapel. In the contemporary service. And our senior pastor was about to leave to go to his new assignment. And the garrison chaplain over at the main post chapel across the street in Schofield Barracks. Got up to preach on Right to Life Sunday and said that abortion is a sin and is wrong. And the general did not like that message, didn't want them preaching that message in an army chapel. And all of a sudden, he found himself no longer as the pastor of the main post chapel and was told, you get out of here and you go across the street. You can go pastor at the small congregation at Wheeler. And he came and became our senior pastor. Being a Southern Baptist, they weren't used to us with our free-flowing worship that the Nazarene guy had allowed us to do. When he came and said, we're going to cut out this stuff. And he said, I don't want anything charismatic associated with my chapel. I said, well, that's who I am. And so I found myself having to go find another service and began working in a Sunday night service over at the Soldiers' Chapel. So I was free on Sunday mornings. Where shall I go to worship the Lord with my family on Sunday mornings, since I am now assigned on Sunday night? And some of my soldiers told me, you need to come to this church that meets in a high school down in Aiea and Honolulu. I said, well, what denomination is it? I don't know, they said, but it's just an awesome service. You need to come. It's wonderful. It's great. The power of the Lord is there. The messages are so poignant, and the worship and everything is great. And so I decided to go check out New Hope Christian Fellowship, where Pastor Wayne Cordero was the pastor. They ran like 10,000 people on Sunday, one service on Saturday night and three on Sunday morning. And they packed the high school auditorium out. They used to set it up and tear it down every single weekend. And they would park all over the grass of the high school, and just the police would be out there directing traffic. And Pastor Wayne Cordero, pastoring New Hope, gave me new hope. When I had lost faith because they said, I don't want anything charismatic associated with my chapel. They told me I should resign because I prayed in the name of Jesus. Because I proclaimed that abortion was a sin. They told me you can only preach what the government tells you you can preach. I said, that's not the way I believe our Constitution in the United States says it's to be. I was beginning to lose hope. But as I went there, Pastor Wayne, he will smile all of the time. The Spirit of the Lord would be upon him, and he would preach not just against sin, but that God can deliver you from your sin. He could do it in a way that I always wish I could be better like that. Some of you probably seen the video that he has that's been out in the last couple of years, where he shares his time when he went to the underground church in China and ministered to the leaders of the underground church in China for a number of days as they sat on a hardwood floor. At the end of the ministry, they said, can you pray for us that we would be like more like you in America? Pastor Wayne said, I can't do that. I've gotten to know you, and I find that you stand for your faith and have willingly gone to prison for preaching the gospel. You memorize scriptures when you're in prison. You know your Bibles, even though you don't have a copy. You willingly sat on a hardwood floor for hours on end from sunup to sundown. We in America, if we don't have padded pews, we're not coming. You traveled for hours on the train to get here. If we got to go more than 10 minutes, I'm not going to that church. The air conditioning is not just right, and you just sat here in the heat. We've got tons of Bibles in our houses and we don't read them. And you memorize them in prison. No, I cannot pray that you will be more like us, but I pray that we will be more like you. That we can catch the fire of what God is really all about, to know him. Pastor Wayne always would inspire me We would talk to him afterwards. And it would be like he had the spirit of Jesus within him. If I could be more like Jesus, like he was. That gave me new hope to continue to serve in the military chaplaincy to preach the gospel, even though it was sometimes very hostile. Because I had hope that Jesus, the Savior of the world, could give us everlasting life. Yes, yes. Not only is Christmas about joy and love and hope, but it's also about peace. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant." Because when you serve the Lord, you have peace. Peace inside, which gives you peace with the world. In the Middle Eastern languages, many times that same consonant for shalom also is for submission. And when you say, "I will serve you, I am the Lord's servant," it's because you have peace. I'm willing to do whatever God tells me to do. I've made my peace with God. You can't go to God and say, "Okay, God, this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to give you your orders." And no, we don't add God to our lives. We come and submit ourselves to God. We allow him to add us to the kingdom of God, to the family of God, to his church, his people. I am the Lord's servant. Like Jesus, who was the Lord's servant out of Isaiah, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Hanging on the cross, had peace with God. Even though it seemed like God had forsaken him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Peace with God so he can have peace. Doesn't matter that the world is hating him, is crucifying him. He has peace with them. He loves them so much that he pardons the guy on the cross beside him. "Today you're coming with me to paradise. Father, forgive those Roman soldiers who pounded the nails in my hands and my feet. Father, reach out to these chief priests and save them." And the historical record tells in the book of Acts that many of the priests after the resurrection, many of the Pharisees after the resurrection, when they saw that this guy was for real, he can die and he can resurrect on his own, they began to follow him. That prayer was answered, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And how many times have you and I done things to God that we know not what we're doing? And Jesus still says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I love them so much. I want them to have my peace." Submit to Jesus as Lord and be his servant. Mary said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Give me your peace. You don't have to have it all figured out, have the Bible memorized, got it all together. None of us do. But I remember when I was 6 years old, I don't know what day it was. I didn't understand the calendar. I just understood God. My mother said, "Would you like to invite Jesus to come into your heart and life?" And I said, "Yes." And we knelt beside her bed in the parsonage of the Trout Creek Assembly of God Church. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life, to forgive me of all my sins. And Jesus came into my heart that day and has walked with me for the last almost 60 years. He's been there all the time. And I haven't been perfect and done it all right, but he's walked with me and he's helped me to learn and to get stronger and hopefully better. And Jesus is calling all of us. I want you to have peace. Surrender to me today. Be the Lord's servant.